for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, July the 4th, 1986. Glenn and Irma Miller and Gene Moody will be teaching deliverance this afternoon. Well, praise the Lord. I see I'm working all right. You may be excused. Thank you for your music. I appreciate it. We had a good time upstairs this afternoon. And we're going to continue on down here. I thought I knew what I was going to talk about from before, but it really got sent home to me upstairs there. And I make my notes up just in a quick. I really don't have everything laid out like Gene does. Maybe one of these days I'll have time to do it, but there's all my notes if you can read them. But that'll work. We'll get the job done. Father, I thank you for the privilege this afternoon to come and stand and take place of authority in this building, in this place that you've given us to worship in this afternoon. I thank you for your presence in our midst. I thank you for the angels of the Lord that you've allowed to come here to do warfare with us. And I thank you for them. I appreciate them. I thank you, Lord, for the battles that will be won this afternoon, for there's victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that name that we come, for it is written, Satan, that Father has given us authority over all your powers and all your evil spirits and all your principalities in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said we can pull them down and put them underfoot. And Jesus said that he set down the right hand until all of his enemies be put underfoot. And you're his enemy. And this afternoon we're going to bind up part of you that's here and put you underfoot and take you out of commission until the day of judgment. We give you notice that that's our intent and our purpose this afternoon. And we're going to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that privilege, Father, of doing it. For we stand and declare that Jesus is our Lord. To him be the glory and the honor and the praise. He's our Lord and he's our judge. And we thank you for the privilege of serving and being a servant for the kingdom. Amen, amen. We're going to study curses this afternoon. We're going to study them maybe not as in depth as they could be. And probably Brother Norman will probably find several scriptures that he could add to this if he were up here, but I'm the one that's here, so we'll just do what's here. And I appreciate Brother Norman and all that we've learned from him, and what we learned from him even this afternoon. I learned from him. In fact, I'm going to use a scripture from him that I learned from him this afternoon. I'm going to use it down here, so appreciate it. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 4 to start with. We're going to study curses. And to my knowledge, Genesis chapter 4 is the first place. I haven't searched it really thoroughly, but I believe it's the first place that a curse is mentioned in the scripture. And the curse is not from Satan. That we need to understand. Now, there are curses that come from witches and covens, and people can speak curses against you and all of this. But the curses that are in the scriptures are curses that God says that he allows, or that he puts on us or allows to come upon us because of our disobedience. And in chapter 4 and verse 10, to my knowledge, is the first place where a curse is mentioned in the Bible, at least to this degree. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Cursed Cain, and said that the ground would be cursed, and it wouldn't yield for him, but he was cursed, and God did it. Okay. Turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 3. And we will look at how we came into the understanding. First of all, we will the understanding of how the Lord showed us about curses. Now, most of the things that I believe and that I talk about or teach about, I have come to a knowledge of by sovereign act of the Lord. And then after the Lord has showed it to Irma and I, then we have found somebody else that the Lord has already showed it to besides. So that's a confirmation that what we have seen or what we have thought we saw in the Word that has a basis for our belief when we find somebody else that the Lord is showing that to. That's true with the deliverance. That's true with the different things that we've seen in the Bible concerning different aspects of what we teach and believe here. We have come to these understandings by a sovereign act of the Lord, not because we decided that we wanted to do something or believe something, but it has been because of a sovereign situation that has been in our lives. And when the Lord has done that and does that, then I am not one that can be moved. You can talk to me all day long about it, but you're just wasting your breath, because I am grounded in what God has sovereignly showed me, and I will stand on that regardless of what you try to dissuade me. I won't argue with you about it. That you'll not get an argument with me out of me about it. I'll just not argue about it. No point in it. Anyway, there are a lot of heresies in the body of Christ. Traditions, heresy, tradition, things that are that there's no scriptural basis for. I'm going to use one of them here that I've heard some of you, even since you've been here this week, make the statement that I'm going to tell you you have no scriptural basis for. And we were studying one Thursday night here of this line, of this thought, and it concerns the blood of Jesus, the applications of the blood of Jesus. And the thought was that we were studying, and that is, ever since I was a child, I have heard my mother and all of those about me say, "I plead the blood." There is no scriptural basis for that statement. And God has honored it, and He does honor it, but there is no scripture in the Bible for that statement. We were studying about that here one Thursday night, just a small group of us. And we were studying the different applications and aspects of the blood of Jesus. And there are five applications of the blood of Jesus. There's a fivefold ministry. There's five applications of the blood of Jesus. I don't know if they got any connection or not, but there are five. And we were studying these different applications of the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to go into that. I'll tell you what they are real quickly, but that's not our study for today. You can apply and there's a scripture for each one of these. There's a scriptural basis for it. You can apply the blood of Jesus. You can appropriate the blood of Jesus. You can use the blood of Jesus to sprinkle the blood of Jesus. You can cover with the blood of Jesus. And you can wash with the blood of Jesus. There are five scriptural applications for the blood of Jesus. Apply, appropriate, sprinkle, cover, and wash. We were studying those applications. And in so doing, one of the scriptures, now there are many, many scriptures that apply to these different aspects of the blood of Jesus. And I was just using just one of them. As of this afternoon, there are probably many more scriptures concerning curses that we could use than what I'm going to use here this afternoon. But a basis of two or three scriptures is a base and a foundation. But anyway, chapter 3 of Leviticus and verse 13 was my thought, the verse that I was using in this particular application that night. And we had several verses to go with each thought that evening. And it says, "And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the gall about the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood." And This scripture, verse 13, tells us that we have a right to sprinkle the blood of Jesus. That was my thought. I had no intention of reading the rest of the chapter as I just did, but I did. I'm going to come back to verse 13, use that for my thought, and went on to another verse relating to the blood of Jesus. Becky Hall who lives here on the campground, was there that evening studying, and that night, in the middle of the night, the Lord woke her up. This was 2.5 years ago now. 2.5 or 3 years ago. It was in February. And the Lord woke her up and told her that to get up and find all the scriptures she could find about eating fat and blood. And when the Lord did that, at first it was strange to her. And the Lord impressed her to get out of bed in the middle of the night and search out all the scriptures she could find concerning fat and blood. And she did. And she didn't say anything about it to any of us. But that very week, she had been to the doctor. Just Dawn thought she ought to have a physical checkup, and she had, and the doctor had found that she was on the verge of sugar diabetes. Now, her great-grandmother died with sugar diabetes. Her grandmother died with sugar diabetes. Her mother died with sugar diabetes. Her two sisters have it very badly, and I believe that one of them has had both of her feet removed because of sugar diabetes. And the Lord spoke to her as she was searching out why he wanted her to do this. He said, "You are under a curse in the family line because your family has participated against my word. For it says in this verse 17, and that's what he sent her back to, it shall be a perpetual statute." What is perpetual? Without end. Without end. There are a lot of things in the Bible that says perpetual. But anyway, he said, and it says, "For your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood." Now, there are many, many scriptures you can look up concerning fat and blood. I believe there, if my count is correct, there are 26 altogether. And there are a lot of them in what some of you call the New Testament. To me, it's the Bible. And so you can't say, well, that's just Old Testament back there you've picked out. No, but as far as I'm concerned, there is no such thing as the Old and New Testament. It is the book. It is the book. And so she came back Sunday morning. We had prayer meeting Saturday night, same thing. Sunday morning, our little group that gathers here on Sunday morning, we had sang and worshiped, and Nina had led us in praise and worship, and I had stepped up to the podium, which generally sits over here on Sunday morning. And because we who gather and worship here, the Lord sends in who He will, and we seem to have a little congregation. If the Lord sees fit some time to increase it and do something, well, that's fine, but we are not here to build a big organization in a church. That's not what God sent us here for. He sent us here so we can be here like we are now. This is our congregation. This is the church that's sitting here now, as far as I'm concerned with this place. But we are a small congregation, a little part of the body of Christ here the rest of the time when you're all not here. And she stood up when I was said, "Is there any prayer request?" She stood up and she repeated just what I've told you. So that the Lord told her that if she would ask for prayer to break these curses off of her from her family inheritance, that the Lord would heal her and deliver her from the curse that she was under because her ancestors had ate blood sausage and blood pudding and made blood soup and all of this from the blood of the animals. Now, when I was a young man, a boy, before I became a teenager, my parents used to butcher every winter, and we went to town and sold the meat house to house. And there was a neighbor man who was a German, and I can look back now, and always came and helped us butcher. And the only thing he wanted was the blood. He would catch a milk bucket full of blood and take it home. And it never crossed my mind. I just knew he did it. And I actually knew what he did with it, but I never thought about it twice. Now I look back he took it home to make blood sausage and blood pudding out of it. And God says, "You shall not eat neither fat nor blood." And the Lord showed Becky that was a curse in their family line because of that. Now there are many curses upon us. And we're cursed because we've disobeyed the word of the Lord in one aspect or another. And then that gives Satan a legal right to come and have authority in that area of our life. In fact, right now I think I will read the verse that Brother Norman gave us a while ago. Jeremiah 30, which I've read but never thought to apply it in the aspect that he showed us this afternoon. Verse 14. There's a lot more here goes with it, but we're just going to pick that out because we've got a lot of studying to do here. It says, all thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy and with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquities, because thy sins were increased. Now, iniquity is when we know to do good and we do not do it. When we know that the word of the Lord says, don't do it, you're going to be cursed if you do it, and we do it anyway. That's iniquity. When you deliberately do contrary to what the word of the Lord says, that is iniquity. And Brother Norman brought out that they were wounded with an enemy, Satan, and that were the chastisement of a cruel one. And Satan is cruel. And when we do things contrary to the word of the Lord, and we receive and we're under these curses, Satan then has a right to chastise us and to be cruel to us. And he does that by his demon spirits coming and entering in to the areas of our life that we have sinned against the Lord or that we have inherited from our ancestral line. Now, do I have a demon for everything? Well, not really, but almost. I think there is a demon for everything. I believe that anything you can name that is contrary to the word of God, that Satan has some spirit that he has to use in that area of somebody's life. I have found that more and more and more, and so have Gene and Earlene as we pray and deal with people. It's unbelievable. You cannot fathom it. Anyway, if you say, how do I get a demon? Well, I'll tell you how you can get it. You disobey. You're told that alcohol will hurt you, and you know better than to drink it, but you go take a drink of it anyway. Well, maybe you didn't get a demon of alcohol and addiction from it from the first drink, but you go back and you do it again, and then you do it a couple more times, and the devil says, "Uh-oh, look over there, we're going to get us one over there. Boys, go over there and get ready. Next time, why he goes out with the kids from school." Back behind the school or somewhere and has a bottle of beer, go over there and get him. And first thing you know, you got an alcoholic on your hand or a drug addiction or something. I'm not maybe I'm wrong, but I'm really not of the opinion that the first time you do something wrong, you'll get a demon from it. But if you keep it up, you will get a demon, saved or unsaved, if you do things contrary to the word of the Lord. And Satan is a cruel taskmaster. And he holds every legal right to the last dot of the I and the cross of the T. He is a legalist, and he holds on to it to the very end until his rights are taken away. And his rights are mainly taken away by confession of your sin, forgiving others, and asking the Lord for the blood to cleanse that area of your life. And then changing your attitude towards others and towards situations and living according as we should. Okay. So that's how I came to the understanding about curses. And since then we have had a whole lot of revelation and understanding concerning curses and such. Now, I don't know what the sin is that allows curses in all of your lives. Now, we're going to see some of them here before I'm through today. We're going to see some of them. I don't know what the sins are that allow curses that cause some heart trouble or cause a cancer or cause other things. And I'm not of the opinion that sugar diabetes, that eating of blood and blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup, contrary to the word, is the only cause for sugar diabetes. I believe that there are other causes as well as that. But that is one cause that I'm sure of. Eating of blood is one cause of sugar diabetes or hyperglycemia. And I believe that the Lord is in the process of revealing to his prophets and teachers and those who stand in the place of authority the causes, and I believe that eventually the body of Christ will know the cause for each and every sickness and disease, the root cause of it. Now, it's all here if we could sort it out and come to the understanding of it. It's all here in the Word. It's here, and we're going to see some of them today, but I don't know what they boil down to. Now, we can take some of them and sort them out here as we go through. But I believe that the Lord's going to bring that revelation so that the body of Christ will be able to set the captives free and go back and break the curse from wherever it started, the sin that it started with, and break that curse that is visited down because God says that it follows a generation line, and if it's for 3 or 4 generations or 10 generations, and then if in between somebody does it over again, which Satan will try to make them do, then that will carry on again, and it will perpetrate itself and go on. We've prayed with a lot of people. We've had to go back 30, even 50, even farther than that, generations, in order to break the power of the curse. You say, how do you know? Well, when you're praying with somebody, you know when you've come to the place where that place is. You just know. That's all I can tell you. You just know. It's just a discernment that God gives you when you're praying, like when you're praying with somebody. And a lot of people, I don't have any idea what to pray with them when I start. Maybe one thing, and I'll start to pray with them. The first thing I know, I hear myself calling out a half a dozen other things. I hear myself doing it. It bypasses my mind, and it, and the Lord just speaks it out. And so that's the way we're learning. And that's the way that in a way is discernment, or the word of the Lord coming forth as you're praying with people. Okay, let's look on here now then. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's get a basis here for what we're doing. We're laying a groundwork. It is, thus saith the Lord, and not thus saith Glenn Miller. That's foolishness. It's what the Lord says. Chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Well, here we've gone back to chapter 3. We were in chapter 4. We backed up. This evidently is the first place where the curse is. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now, why it was for his sake, that's hard to figure out. But anyway, that's what it says. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it in all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt thou return. And that's all I want to read there. Now let's go over to Leviticus chapter 7. Starting with verse 23. Well, 22. We want a basis here of what this is. See, I hear people saying too much. It bothers me. They say too much. Moses said, or the law of Moses. I don't agree that Moses said. God said. And Moses repeated what God said. God said. And they get away with feeling that it doesn't apply to them because Moses said. Well, Moses said because God said. Verse 22 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the Lord said, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat, of ox, or of sheep, or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beast, may be used in any other use, but you shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be a fowl or a beast, in any of your dwellings. And whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Now, the Lord's got a lot of ways of cutting us off. And sickness is sure a good one. And if you die before you attain unto 70 years of age, you've been cut off. Because God has promised us a minimum of 70 years. That is our minimum. And if you die before 70 years, then some way, you have some kind of a curse of some way, either of your own or of your ancestral line, and God has allowed you to be cut off before you obtain unto that which God has promised. I believe that 70 is only the beginning. And I'm going to reach out for the kingdom, and at least for Moses' time. Now, Brother Jack's got a good start over here because all of his granddads lived to be past 90. Why can't we reach out for Moses' time? Moses had 120, and his eyesight's a little bad, but God can restore that. And but God's in the restoring business today. And I believe that we can reach out and believe for 120. And then by the time the 120, well, we'll be over in the kingdom. Amen. But we're guaranteed 70. You have a guarantee of 70, if you live according to the word and come under the word. Leviticus, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We have here. And God spake all these words. He spoke them through Moses, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of sin, out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. America's got a lot of gods. We talk about the Hindus having a million gods. America might have a million gods, too. We've sure got a few thousand of them. All kinds of sports and all these things. Some people's cars are God. Some people's homes are God. All kinds of things you'd make a God out of here in America. If you think more of that than you do of the Lord, then that's your God. And America is a land that's full of gods other than the Lord God Almighty. In the house of faith I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about those who profess to be saved. It's their gods. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. And we got a whole thing we could go off and teach on Catholicism and Buddha and all this here about heathen gods, because that is there, but that's not our subject this afternoon. It's curses. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me or that do not obey my word, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Now we could pick this up and find it three or four times in the scripture, but this afternoon we're just going to take one place of it. So there we have a curse visited upon to the third and the fourth generation. In Deuteronomy 23, we have another curse. Verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Amorite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation, or approximately 400 years, shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. And Earlene taught on this day before yesterday. I believe it was day before yesterday. She taught on the curse of the bastard and did a thorough job on that. But I want to show you here that God says that he puts a curse on us when we disobey his word to as far as the tenth generation. And this is the curse of incest. The Amorite and the Moabite are the two sons of Lot through his two daughters by incest. And this is a curse of incest. And we're not going to teach on that this afternoon, but we will read maybe some of the curses where God says incest is a curse here before we're through. 400 years is approximately 10 generations, and scientists have told us that it takes 10 generations down through the bloodline to cleanse the bloodline of something that's in the blood. Incest or a crossbreed or something, it takes approximately at least 10 generations, and God says that's 10 generations. So we'll take his word for it that it's 10 generations. Leviticus chapter 18 is what I want next. And I want to show you three applications here as we go through it just for teaching's sake. Leviticus 18, verse 1. And the Lord spoke, Moses, but the Lord spoke. And he said unto Moses, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Sin, wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk after their ordinances or their regulations. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Oh, I thought the Lord said, if you like to do it, well, you could do it. I thought he said, if it fit what you thought, why, it was okay. That's what I read there. He said, you shall keep them and do them. Wanted to? He didn't ask you if you'd like to, or even if you'd think about it. He said, do it. Verse 10 says, nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. That's incest. But what I want you to see in that verse is, it says, thou shalt not. Okay, turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20, verse 1. And again it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 7 says, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy. That's what he's saying today. Telling us to get ourselves cleansed up, get the spots and wrinkles out, and be Glenn Miller holy. For I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. Verse 9. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Now, young people, take heed to that. If you disobey your parents and curse them, you'll be put to death. Another place it says that if you're a drunkard and if you're a glutton, and disobey your parents, that you'll be taken to the elders and taken outside the city and stoned. My thought is here, this just happened to be the next verse, I didn't deliberately pick it. But my thought is here, but it's good to listen to it. My thought is here that you shall surely be put to death. The other verse, it said, you shall not. This verse says, you shall surely be put to death. And there's a whole chapter that went with you shall not. There's a whole rest of this chapter that goes with, you shall surely be put to death. And it lists many, many things. And most of them are in relationship to incest. But my thought is, you shall not, and you shall be. Now, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 2. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm. Verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Now, chapter 27, verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Okay. Now, first, the Lord said, you shall not. Then he said, you shall be stoned or killed. Now he says, you're cursed if you do these things. And the other two chapters bear the same, basically the same thing that's in this chapter. But here we're cursed. God curses us if we make a graven or molten image, which is an abomination, and then we put it in a secret place and call it a god. We're cursed. Then he says, we're cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. So if you hold in light esteem your father or your mother, make light of them, you're cursed. Not only not hit them, not rebel against them, but if you just hold them in light esteem, you're cursed. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. We don't have too much problem with that today, a little once in a while. We heard one incident about it here from Brother Ranny when he was here, or when he spoke about the landmark being moved. But most of the time now, everything is surveyed in this country, so there's no pile of stones that somebody can move a few feet and move your landmark. But God says, if you do it, you're cursed. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of a stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And after this, everybody said amen. They agreed. They consented to it, and they agreed that they would be cursed if they did this. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt, adultery, incest. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, bestiality. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. That's incest. And you notice how compact that verse is, and yet it's fixed so that it includes if your mother died and your father remarried, or your father died and your mother remarried. It's fixed so that it covers both half-brothers and half-sisters. God saw to that when he put it in there. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. And cursed be he that taketh a reward to slay an innocent person, murder or outright killing somebody for hire. And cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. So we're bound to do everything that God says here. And if we don't do it, we're cursed because we don't do it and comply to it. So God is putting the curse on us. God is doing it, not the devil. God is doing it. But then when we disobey the word of the Lord and that curse falls on us, then it opens a door and gives Satan a right to come in and torment us. Because he's the tormentor and he's glad to do it. Oh, he's glad to do it, and he'll be there quick to take up his place and to torment and talk about the hornets he'll send. He'll bring them along. Chapter 28. where do I want to start in that one? Verse 15 of chapter 28. It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed be thou in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Now, over here, the Lord had just blessed everybody with blessing. I believe it's right here. But now he says that he's take the blessing away if we don't keep his word. He'll take the blessing away. We talk about and we sing the song, and it's a wonderful song, and I love it. Abraham's blessings are mine. They're only mine as I obey the word of the Lord. And if I disobey the word of the Lord, then Abraham's curses are mine. That's right. They're mine. I ask for them, and I'll get them, and so will you. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kine and of the flocks and of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. Well, there's no time in between. You're cursed outside and you're cursed inside. It's a continual curse. And I tell you, we've got a lot of continual curses that we've got to get out from under. We've got to learn. We've got to see. We've got to apply the word of the Lord. We've got to ask forgiveness. And we've got to come out from underneath these things. Poverty. Right there, I read the whole thing of poverty. There it is. The field won't give anything, the cattle won't give anything, and our store won't give anything. Your business. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I thank the Lord Brother Jack took authority over that curse of poverty last night and broke the thing. Or somebody did. I believe it was Brother Jack. Amen. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until you be destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord's pretty plain about it. The Lord shall make the pestilent cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever. Now, there are two, there right there are some diseases that the Lord says that he's put on us, that we're cursed with. So when we have these things, why, we can figure out what they are, that it's a curse from the Lord. With an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword. And they shall pursue thee until you perish. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. I think it was Brother Golden, I believe, was breaking the iron, the brass and the iron off of us the other day when he was speaking. We need the brass and the iron broken off of us. The Lord shall make the rain of the land powder and dust, and the heaven shall it, and from heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. And most of us can remember, at least some of us can remember, the days of the dust bowls, when the land raised up and moved hundreds of miles across the nation in great fogs of dust that you couldn't, no matter you taped the windows and the doors shut. My parents did, and it didn't do any good. It filtered in and stacked up a half inch deep all over the inside of the house, no matter how tight we tried to keep it out. And it's liable to happen again with God's judgment come. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall remove into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and to all the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. Hemorrhoids is piles. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and with blindness. Madness, our institutions are full of it. With blindness, and with astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. You notice there's verse after verse here of God's judgment. We had his blessings, but there are three or four curses and judgment for every blessing. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored unto thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Today, instead of the ox being taken away and the ass taken away, while the tractors and the farming equipment's all getting taken away, and the land is being repossessed because the farmers can't meet their bills. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto other people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. Thou, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee before the king which thou shalt set, which thou shalt set over thee, which God hasn't set, but which you've set over yourself, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, but shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees there throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast her fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of the land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee. The Lord says that they'll come after. They'll chase you and overtake you till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commands thee. And they shall be unto thee for a sign and for a wonder upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst, in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave neither ear, neither corn, wine, nor oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed them. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high-fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege. Now that's pretty bad. Because he had nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. And if thou shalt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, Jesus Christ is his name, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and thy plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long countenance, and of sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, or the land of sin, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. The curses and the plagues that God says that he puts upon us when we disobey his word and sin against him. But I thank God that he has made a way out, and I praise him for it. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. So if we put our trust in man, we're cursed. Chapter 48, verse 10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. The coward. The coward is cursed, and the man is cursed that uses the word of the Lord for his own benefit. And the Lord will bring the judgment on those who do that. We've seen some of them, and we've seen some of God's judgment, and there's going to be a lot more of it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. So we need to do the best we can, the very best of our ability, to do that which pleases and blesses the Lord. That we do that which is not contrary to the word of the Lord, but we do that which will be a blessing in the household of faith. Okay, Malachi chapter 2. That's right. Those that I'm talking about know who I'm talking to. Malachi chapter 2. Now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. So the Lord says that if we do not take his word and lay it to heart, then we're cursed, because we don't do it. And this is to the priest, to the ministers of the household of the Lord, that they are to teach just as I am teaching here, that their people know that God says that he curses us with a curse if we don't teach. And he curses me as the priest of this household if I don't teach this here and tell you about it. then I will be cursed. And if once you come to this knowledge and you don't teach it, then God holds you responsible for it, that you teach this to your people. Chapter 3, verse 9. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So when we're unfaithful with our tithes, and we have poverty in our household, then it's because God has cursed us with a curse. And we need to come and repent and ask the Lord's forgiveness and ask Him to restore and take the poverty away from us and be faithful in paying your tithes. And then after that, why, then God requires an offering. But the tithes are His. Those belong to Him. And God also tells us that, I believe, we have to repay, 20%? I believe it's a 20% fine on you when you don't pay your tithes. That which you haven't paid, God requires a fine of, I believe it's 20% above your tithes to repay what the Lord requires. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 3. 11 and 3. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, or sin, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them. According to all which I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. So the Lord doesn't give us any leeway. He says that we're cursed if we do not obey the laws, that the words of the covenant. And the covenant is what I have read to you this afternoon. I have read that covenant that He gave. There's a lot more I could put in, but I have read that covenant which God gave to the children of Israel when they came out from Egypt. And God says that we're cursed if we do not obey that covenant, that He curses us for not obeying it. We're cursed for not obeying it individually, but we're cursed by not obeying it as a whole unit. And this afternoon, I thank the Lord that He made a way for us to come out from underneath these curses. You see, in Galatians 3 and 13, well, in fact, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that the world should not perish. But the world has not accepted Him, has it? There are a few, but the multitudes have not accepted the Lord Jesus. He gave Jesus for our sins, for the remission of our sins. And we have to accept Him. We have to apply the blood of Jesus to our lives and ask forgiveness. And the blood cleanses us. The same is true of the curses. We have to come and confess to the Lord that we have either willingly or ignorantly disobeyed His commandments. And then when we do that, Jesus became a curse, Galatians 3 and 13, so that we don't have to bear the curse. Jesus became that curse for us, but we have to apply and appropriate that fact, just like we do with healing, just like we do with the rest of the atonement. We have to apply and appropriate it to our lives so that the curses can be broken and that we can come out from underneath those curses and be set free from them. And this afternoon, I don't know if Furman's got... You going to say something? Okay. And then after she does, Jean and I are going to take the place of authority here, and we're going to break the curses from off of those present. And we'll do what the Lord has showed us upstairs, how to start with here, and then we'll do it corporately for all concerned, and then in other areas past that. Irma?
Psalm 66 and 18 of Psalms. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's pretty earth-shaking, isn't it? Do you think that could be the reason a lot of people can't get their prayers answered? Because we have iniquities in our heart. And it's the same way if we have these curses on us from disobedience, we're going to be sick. Now let's go to Jeremiah 30. I got all this while Glenn was talking. Study a chapter of Jeremiah. Let's see. 12th verse first. I'm sure it's... All this is so good in the Old Testament. I'm so sorry that I was taught not to pay attention to the Old Testament. I wasted lots of years, probably at least, 30 years of being a Christian and not much reading in the Old Testament. And once the Lord started opening all these things up to us, you know, there wasn't very many people to go to in 1966 that you could talk about these things. Can you hear me back there? You know, I remember when we were reading out loud about Matthew 24, about there might not be a rapture. I told Glenn about it, and he read it, and he wanted to know what Bible I was reading out of. I was reading out of my good Scofield Bible. And he said, well, don't talk about that to nobody. We didn't know there was a Brother Jack around already teaching that, see? I wish we'd have had him around to confer with, you know. We might have been a lot further up the road, but we had to sort of plow through this. And we were just astonished about many things that the Lord showed us about we are the Israel of God, and we better start eating like the Israelites, like God told the Israelites, you know. And we talk about it to people. We had two friends that we'd get in this Bible and we'd really tear it up. You know, it's really good to study the Bible. There's amazing things in here that we don't know. We don't know why we're sick. We don't know why half of Christendom are sick. All. We don't know why we have these curses on us. We don't know why we have these plagues on us, because we haven't heard too much of it from the pulpit, have we? We've heard a lot of salvation. Jesus died. He shed his blood that we might be saved. And I'm not saying that you won't go to heaven if you don't obey all this. You'll be saved maybe by the skin of your teeth, and you might get there faster if you don't obey. That being cut off, don't that kind of shake you? You know, he said, I'll cut you off. That means you'll die. All right. Let's see. Did we read the 12th? For thus saith the Lord, 30 and 12 of Jeremiah, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. You know, we have a lot of incurable diseases today and lots of plagues. There's a difference, I think, between diseases and these that are cursed by God. I think AIDS is a plague. Most incurable diseases, I believe, are from curses and from plagues that God has put on us. Because you know what the Bible says about homosexuality and lesbianism. I don't think there's anybody in here that doesn't know better than that. But you see, we just go on our own merry way and believe what we want to and throw out everything else. You know, for years, people threw out the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And for years, they threw out divine healing. A lot of churches still do. They say that's only for the apostles. But I'm telling you, we're going to be judged by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Whether we like it or not, we're going to be judged by it. And if we're going to be the judges in Zion and in sonship, we better know and get rid of all this stuff in our own self. There is none to plead thy cause, next verse, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. Sometimes the doctors will just tell people that I don't have anything to give you. This is incurable. Now let's go down to the 17th verse, because I think this is so beautiful. For I will restore health unto thee. Haven't we been saying that in Zion we're going to have divine health? How do we get divine health if we don't start obeying? I will heal thee of thy wounds. He was wounded what? For our what? Transgressions. He was bruised for what? What's iniquities? It's worse than sin. It's when you sin, you don't really know that you're sinning. You know, you do now, but that's a transgression and it's an iniquity. When you know to do better and you just go right ahead and do it anyway. That's iniquity. That's lawlessness. That's God, I don't have to pay attention to you. We're in the New Testament. We're under grace. We've perverted grace so bad that we're so far from what grace really is. It's the grace of God that's in your children, every one of you. Every one of you that's passing notes and writing that aren't taken out in stone today. Because that's what happened to all rebellious kids in the Church of Israel. In the camp of Israel, wasn't it? They stoned them. They took them outside the camp. And they stoned them. Do you think there were very many rebellious kids? I doubt it.
There wasn't no writing out
No? Okay. I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast. Well, I tell you, early Pentecost, 1932, talk about being an outcast in persecution. You should have been there. We were called every name. When they changed the baptism of the Holy Spirit and talking in tongues to charisma, that kind of, you know, helped the Lord along. It did. Boy, when they called you holy rollers, you know, that was a stigma. They will call you an outcast, saying, this is Zion. You know, some people says, if that's Christianity, who needs it? Don't they? If that's the way Christians act, who needs that? We don't want to allow all these things in Zion. I don't think God's going to allow it. This is Zion. Now, we're going to go back to my subject from day before yesterday, Joel 2. You know, I heard some preacher say he preached the same sermon week every Sunday and every Sunday. New preacher came in, he preached the same sermon every Sunday and every Sunday and every Sunday. And the elders got together and said, why don't you preach something else? He says, well, as soon as you get this, then I'll go on to something else. Last chapter of Joel. Now, Joel is a tremendous book. And it's very up to date. It's very modern. The trumpets are blowing and we're talking about Zion and we're sanctifying fast, and we're calling the assembly, and we're gathering the people, and all of that. But in the last verse, I love this last verse. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, say, I'm a whosoever, shall call on the name of the Lord, shall be what? Delivered. For in Mount Zion, look at that little word, I-N. In Mount Zion, we better all like deliverance because it's going to be there. In Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, the church shall be deliverance. Are you afraid of that word? You know, we get told the Millers think there's a demon behind every bush. I don't think there's a demon behind every bush. I think there's about 25 behind every bush and in the pews. As the Lord hath said, and in, look at that word in again, the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Aren't we all talking about wanting to be in this remnant? How can we be in the remnant if we don't believe in deliverance? And how can we get in the remnant if we don't practice deliverance and get it for ourselves? You experience it first yourself, then nobody can talk you out of it. I have two children. Nobody can tell me about there's no pain in the labor room, because there is. This is the labor room this afternoon, and there's going to be pain in here. It's going to hurt for a while, but then there's going to be joy in the morning. And, you know, I am constantly amazed, as long as the many years that we've seen deliverance meetings, I am constantly amazed that any of us could function with as much demonic powers as in us. Isn't that a miracle of God? And only the Lord allows us to function in the Spirit. When we have so many things that must come out, the spots and the wrinkles, I don't know how the Lord stands me, even. I really don't sometimes. And I constantly cry out, Lord, turn the light on me. Let the Holy Ghost bring these things up. Let me see what's in me. Half the time, we don't even know what's in us, do we? The Holy Spirit probes us. We get cleaned by the Word. We get delivered by reading the Word. But you get the Word forever and ever and ever. I mean, some people can't, and they can't get help because they've regarded iniquity in their hearts, and the Lord doesn't even hear them. So this, I am a very serious person. I like to laugh, and I like to joke, and I like to I even laugh about deliverance. I think it's funny when some boy, when I was saying, come out, you evil spirit, and when I said that in the name of Jesus, he threw up, and I didn't have my stock and trade, you know, the paper towel under my arm. And so he just started to vomit, and I caught it in my hand. It ran down and ran into my, I had on open pumps, ran into my shoe. I think that's funny, really. Don't you? You see why we are sick? These evil spirits, they come in and they leave all their debris. And then when we cast them out, they leave, but that debris has to come out. That afterbirth, so to speak, has to come out. You know what I'm talking about, women? Yeah, that has to come out or it'll make you sick and sick and sicker. That's why when I've heard evil spirits talk and say, smoking spirits, for instance, I'm here to kill her. I'm going to kill her. And I say, no, you're not, because you're going to have to go and she's going to be healed. And she's going to get well because she's not going to smoke anymore after you leave. You can't make her smoke, and you're not going to kill her. Now, I don't know. I don't believe in this name it and claim it, but I sure believe in being positive with the devil. I mean, you call him what he is. Derek Prince used to tell us, don't call a plow or a shovel an agricultural instrument. Call it what it is. So you have to call the enemy what he is. And I love this. In the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I've never told you about my Skeva experience, but I'm not going to. But I tell you, I know what the Skeva boys went through. You know, some of you will go home and you may try your wings out a little bit, and you should. You only learn by doing. You can hear theory for years and years and years, but until you really put it into practice, you're not going to really learn. And you may have some bangs around and everything, but I said the wrong thing to the wrong demon one day, to the wrong woman, and I got it. She was. I'll tell you who she is, and you'll know, some of you will know. Especially, now, that Brother Golden, where is he? When he plays that violin and he gets out there and he's going like this, and somebody said all he needs is his corn cob pipe. He's playing the violin and he's patting that foot. But this woman...
You don't need no corn cob pipe.
I know, I'm only teasing him. This lady is cousin Emmy on the Grand Ole Opry. She wrote the song years ago, Ruby. Remember that song? And it didn't do much. And then somebody, I don't know, Ernie Tubbs or somebody brought it back, and she made lots of money off of it. Well, our daughter-in-law, she was our daughter-in-law's aunt. And she used to keep all the children and watch after them. She was real old. She would play sometimes the Hollywood Bowl or something, be in a program. And she had my little, we left her with our little grandson with her a lot. And she would walk him to kindergarten school. One time we had him over the weekend, and we took him to a meeting. And it's amazing how the devil understands different things. We took him to this meeting, and we didn't get home till late, so we took him down a Monday morning early. She says, did you have this child to one of those meetings again? She didn't know we'd even been to a meeting. I said, yes. And she said, oh, the poor little thing. He's too young to go to church. You oughtn't to take him to all those meetings. I said, well, I went in a big wagon in zero weather, laying on a feather bed with hot bricks. And sometimes they stayed all night until we'd get home about daylight, and we'd go on to school. Nobody prosecuted my parents way back there in those old days. And the more she said, the more I said. And the more she said, the more I said. And I said, you're just full of the devil. Oh, my man, when I said that, she grabbed me by the hair, kicked me, threw me down in her dining room, started rolling me and kicking me out. Is that a Skeva experience? You know, the sons of Skeva. And she kicked me out through the kitchen, out through the service porch, and I was rolling, and she was pulling my hair. I had long hair, and she's pulling it out. And Glenn jumped out of the car, and she knocked him flat. And the next day... No, she called me yet that night. We jumped in the car and drove away. She called me that night, and you know what she said? I don't know what made me do that, honey. And I had the last word because I was 10 miles away. I said, it was the devil. Well, anyway, there's going to be deliverance in Zion, and there's going to be deliverance in the remnant. And Jesus made a way. He regularly, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and underscored in red, and I mark little things up the side of all these scriptures. There's dozens of them where he regularly was casting out evil spirits. The demons threw them on the ground. They frothed at the mouth, and they screamed, and they did a little bit of everything. The Bible says unclean spirits cried with loud voices and came out. Now, if you think we didn't have some unclean spirits, and we were on... The demons, I hate to tell you men this. We ladies were all up here. There was a mob of us here this afternoon. And we were on gluttony. We were on lust for food. We were on, what else, Earlene? Oh, indulgence. Self-seduction. We were on appetite. We were on water retention. And what? Oh, yeah, buying, you know, there's buying demons that make you buy things. You go to the store and you don't even want to do that. And you buy chocolate cake and, you know, and all that stuff. And what? Oh, blood, raw meat, rare meat. I know people that eat raw hamburger all the time, never cook it. That's not right. That's why we get sick. I think, Kevin, there you have somebody out the door looking for you. So anyway, we've got to find out the causes. We saw there's consumption, which is TB, didn't we? We saw madness, which is insanity. We saw these plagues. We know cancer is practically incurable. And we know AIDS is incurable. All these things that we have indulged in, and it's called sin, it's called disobedience, it's against the Lord. And we want to be holy people, don't we? We want to be walking. There's all kinds of curses of death. I was born with a curse of death on me. I didn't even know it. I didn't know why I was always sick as a little girl. My brother was never sick. I was sick, sick, sick. But the Lord, through a man with discerning of spirits, called out a curse of death on me. I used to be ashen white, like I was going to die any minute. And when that came out, I really felt the bondages around my arms and my whole body. I heard chains drop off of me. And I've been basically very healthy ever since. So we're going to break the curses. We're going to come against diseases. How many want to be well?
Amen.
Yeah, we've had enough healing lines. I've been in healing tent meetings for years, and you see a few people healed, don't you? But if they go right back and do the same thing again, they're going to they'll lose their healing. I know there's healing for these eyes. You study eyes in the Bible, and you're going to see that why your eyes grow dim. You know what those scriptures are? Job said, and the psalmist said, my eyes have grown dim because of grief. Is that what? Grief. See, grief has to do with tears. And I once went up to Derek Prince, and you know, you can kind of not approach him, but I said to Derek, will you cast this spirit of grief out of me so that I can see better? And I was wearing glasses then. And he said, well, yes, I guess I will. And so he prayed for me. And, you know, I took off those glasses. And I could see perfect like a child. But I didn't throw away my glasses. See that little doubt and unbelief in there? And once we were praying, Glenn's touching me. I got to get down from here.
Well, the reason being that I want the prayer on the tape, and the tape's about to run out.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, I got healed, but it only lasted about 3 days because of my unbelief. And we were praying for a girl once, and these demons said, my name is unbelief. I killed the Christians. I won't let the Christians believe they've been healed. And I thought, I've seen a lot of people healed, and they lose their healing. Now, this is a little thing. The devil isn't telling the truth this time. I won't let them be healed. And, you know, we got to think about all these things. You want me to pray?
Yes.
You're going to pray. All right, let's pray. Okay. We could have another tape. No? Okay. All right, everybody bow your head. You pray after us. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Because you're our Lord and our Savior. We have no other gods but you. You are our God. You're our Father. Jesus, you're our healer. You cleanse us from all these things by your precious blood. We stand here this afternoon asking you for help. We're asking you to cleanse us for every time we've ever eaten fat or blood or disobeyed you and your words that are perpetual. From Genesis 1. Lord, we bring these sins up to you. We ask you for the precious blood that you've so freely given us to cleanse us from these sins and wash these sins out of us and to cleanse our subconscious minds and to cleanse our blood that has not been cleansed. These things that have been handed down in our bloodline. And these familiar spirits that have come right along with them. Lord, your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. You say there's deliverance in the church. Or Jerusalem. You say there's deliverance in Zion. You say there's deliverance in the remnant. Lord, we want to move on. We want to have divine health. We don't want to be sick. And your stripes healed us. You died on the tree. And you were cursed. And we don't have to bear these curses. And Lord, we know you've got the power and the authority to grant to your servants the power and the authority to cast these spirits out and to break the curses and to heal the sick and to raise the dead. And Lord, we are all servants. And we just call on your name once again. Deliver us, Lord, from all the things you hate. And we will be thankful. We will be thankful. We will not take you for granted. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just be quietly, sit quietly, let the blood just penetrate over you. You don't know what's in that, in this mind, in our subconscious.
Father, I come as a priest over this place this afternoon. I take authority over every spirit. And I bind it in the name of the Lord Jesus, according to that authority that's been given to your priest, in the name of Jesus. You said that you give us the authority of your name to cast out devils. This afternoon, I take that place of authority with Gene, and we stand here together as priests over this place and take the place of authority over every evil spirit here. And I bind them in the name of the Lord Jesus to the day of judgment. And Father, I ask for the angels of the Lord to come and take these spirits as they come out and keep them until you judge them at the day of judgment. I thank you for that privilege, Father, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Now, I take authority over the curses of the ancestral lines. I thank you, Father, that Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to bear these curses. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over the curses of our ancestral line and ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse the sins of our ancestors that have sinned in these areas and have allowed these curses to come down upon us. And no matter what realm these curses may be, I take a blanket authority over them this afternoon, and I break their power and take dominion over them and cause them to be broken over every person here this afternoon, over every familiar spirit that's attached with these curses in any way. I take authority over that familiar spirit that's followed the family line, and I break its power and bondage and take its right away and bind it up in the name of Jesus and cause it to have no rights. I break its dominion in Jesus' name, and I cause it to have no rights, and I bind it to the day of judgment. Now, in Jesus' name, I loose these people from you, and I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Now, Gene is going to call different ones. We're going to pray first for heart trouble, and where'd you list that?
Okay, the first thing we want to do is all the men who have heart trouble, and women, and all the men who have a history of heart trouble in their family, and women too, just stand. You don't have to come up to the front. And also, at the same time, we'll just deal with cancer. If you have cancer or history of cancer in the family or otherwise, we're going to deal with that first. And then I guess I might as well go into infirmities, weaknesses, and sicknesses at the same time.
Let's include arthritis in here, too. Anyone with arthritis, let's include that. Any in your family or in your family line, arthritis. Include that. Father, I come in the name of Jesus and take authority over this inherited curse of arthritis, this inherited curse of cancer, this inherited curse of sugar diabetes, and this inherited curse of heart trouble. I take authority over in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind your power and I take your dominion away from every person present here that you have any right to. I break your power off of them and I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I take authority over the ancestral line for 30 generations back and I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I take authority over any children or grandchildren that are from these families, from either mother or father present in on either side of the family. I take authority over that and I break it from the children and the grandchildren. I take that place of authority and dominion in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I break the curse of it off of them in Jesus' name, and I loose them from it. Now, you familiar spirit of heart trouble, you familiar spirit of sugar diabetes or hyperglycemia, you familiar spirit of arthritis, and you familiar spirit of cancer, I bind your power and break your dominion. Come out of these people in the name of Jesus and set them free. Come out. I bind your dead judgment. Come out. Come out. Come out. Every familiar spirit, come out. Come out. Every spirit of sickness and disease in these areas, come out of them in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I bind you to dead judgment. Angels, come and get them. Angels, come and help us. Angels, come pull them out. Angels, come take them away. I command them, come off of the hearts. Come off of the hearts. Come off of the hearts. Come out of the blood.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.